escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. You can listen live on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can also now listen on iHeartRadio as well as TuneIn Radio. So we're streaming just about anywhere where you can find online content. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Glad that he is with us. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
And let's listen, man. It's been a weird day where
it's been a weird week. It feels like
It's certainly been an odd week, up and down. Feels like there's been like varying degrees of serious news and kind of bummer news. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. My company, as he is each and every Thursday, he writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. He did important work today over at CBSSports.com, ranking the quarterbacks of the Big Ten. I'm sure we're going to get into that at some point. But he is David Cobb. You can follow him on Twitter on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, good day. That haircut looks fantastic on you.
I have needed one quite badly.
Yeah, it's that time of year where the extra mane really makes a difference. So you look sharp.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. But also, like, it's that thing where I typically can wear my hair longer, but there comes this point of where it just starts to get irritating, and I was at that point. So I've now gotten the type of haircut that as my stylist said yesterday, she's like, I guess, because I got it cut a lot shorter than normal, she's like, I guess I'll see you in 3 months. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, that's actually a bad deal for her because she gets paid less often.
Yeah, she's the price has been increasing. This is the same woman that's cut my hair since I was 12. The price has steadily gone up.
I don't mean this in a bad way, Jeffrey, but it actually probably, it looks like the haircut she probably gave you when you were 12. You look young.
There's a reason why the same person's cut my hair. like, Cobb, we quote unquote mixed it up yesterday. She just gave me the same haircut. She just cut it shorter.
You are such a creature of habit, hanging on to
that.
Well,
on that kind of stuff. Listen, I have one physical feature that I believe in. It's my hair.
That's going to make it tough. You ought to do some preemptive hymns spray just to kind of.
I think at this point, when you're pushing 30, when you're a week away from 37, I think if you got it now, you probably got it.
Wait, what's your birthday?
August 3rd.
Okay. Mine's July 27th, so we're pretty close.
And then my wife's is like 10 days later, so it just turns into her birthday month.
There you go. Well, that's fine. Yeah. At this age, the birthdays really aren't worth celebrating.
No, we're going to San Diego to see my friends. That's the birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. Well, we're also going to San Diego, which is also not bad. So looking forward to that. That'll be next week. But let's celebrate what we got coming up on the program. I want to discuss with Cobb because we could go a couple of different directions. Like, you know, we've had the Big Ten media days. I thought it was interesting, and maybe you disagree, so feel free. I thought Big Ten Media Days had more juice than SEC Media Days, but I think it was by design. I think SEC Media Days felt very buttoned up. It felt like a lot of people really not trying to make headlines, and I presume that was by design. Whereas this week, over in Vegas, it felt like, hey, boys, we're in Vegas. Let's put on a show. And it felt like everyone had zingers ready to go. We learned that an 8-4 Big Ten team, still a postseason team, should be a postseason team. We learned all about that. So I want to see if you think that was one of the more enlightening things this weekend. If you want to get into the news that have with Memphis, we can get into that. Eric Hasselstein's going to join us during the bottom part of the hour. We'll get into the list. George had a scare this morning. George had a news story that I wish would happen to my team. Like, I want my starting quarterback to get hurt in practice. Like, I don't, because I don't want him to be the starter. Like, I have no problem admitting that. Like, I have no desire to watch Russell Wilson play quarterback. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't need to see it. Take it away. Not for me. George actually had to go through the experience, though, of not wanting his starting quarterback to get hurt. So we'll discuss that. Then Jason Smith's going to join us, and we'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I'll let you go. I'll keep it vague, Cobb, if you want to go in any one particular direction, if you want to go Big Ten, if you want to go with what's happened here in Memphis. In terms of big picture, what do you feel like we've learned this week?
Yeah, we learned that here's what I learned this week. University of Memphis Athletic Department has creative solutions to achieve its goals and the financial means to be really competitive moving forward in a way that I didn't fully realize on Monday. I think that's the big picture takeaway. Once you get now 72 hours past the initial bomb of, oh my gosh, the Big 12 said no to this, I think the lasting takeaway is, wow, look at what Memphis was able to bring to the table. At a time, man, where it's so boom or bust in this market for sports. I mean, there is, you've got another minor league team on the way out, sounds like, with the Showboats. Hey, you know, Memphis Redbirds attendance is as bad as it's ever been. 901 FC is gone. They haven't reached a new lease agreement with the Grizzlies for the Forum. And yeah, it's bad news that the Big 12 said no to Memphis, but relative to the University of Memphis specifically and their athletic department, the package that they were able to put together kind of blew my mind a little bit. And though it's not going to have immediate dividends, I think there's a lot of long-term positivity that can come from this offer, if that's what you want to call it, for Big 12 membership, which is basically like, wow, like we are open for business and we have a lot to bring to the table, probably more than the rest of the nation realized last week.
I'm with you because when we got the news on Monday, so obviously we talked about it on this show a little bit, but Jeff asked me on Tuesday, do I feel fundamentally, because I think what the University of Memphis' statement was something along the lines of, the athletic program's in the strongest position that it's ever been. And it's a statement, whatnot. But he asked me, he's like, if it's versus feeling strongly about the state of the program, the state of the athletic department versus devastation of not getting in, where are you? And it's obviously, it's a mixed bag. Because like, you can't say like, oh, it's good to get rejected publicly like that. Like, but I honestly came down at like 51-49 in terms of positivity for the exact reasons that you mentioned. I really feel like it kind of went under discussed because everyone was too busy either dealing with the shock of, really? $200 million wasn't enough? $200 million plus not taking a piece of the pie? Like, you're dealing with these massive numbers. But I was talking about this with Kevin yesterday. Like, they did something that I don't... Like, I understand the business model works differently for the Grizzlies. But, like, I don't think the Grizzlies have ever successfully put together that kind of corporate package. And I get it. It's a little bit different in terms of you're not just selling one team. And it's also clear to point out to everyone, the $200 million was not just, okay, now the school has a Brinks truck. It was for marketing for the Big 12. It's college football. It was a lot of things. And it's a lot of things that we see corporate partners want to be involved in. and their marketing departments are able to sign off on that. With that said, that was still an incredibly impressive offer.
Yeah, and one that I didn't necessarily believe the Big 12 was in position to scoff at. Now, I understand, look, the $200 million in sponsorships and marketing deals that was proposed as part of this, a lot of that money is money they'll get through other marketing partnerships or other sponsorship agreements, but probably not to that level. And then I think the other part was interesting is that, oh, well, Memphis had this clause in their proposal that if we're not bringing value after 5 years, you can just kick us out. Well, basically, they're protected in that scenario by FedEx, by AutoZone, because so long as those corporations are still attached at the hip to Memphis, if the Big 12 in 5 years had said, all right, Memphis, well, you're not cutting it, then FedEx or AutoZone could have said, all right, Big 12, well, you're not cutting it. We're going to yank our partnership with you. So I think there was some protection kind of built in with that.
George and I defined it as, we think that was a nice little kicker detail in to like sweeten the offer. To be like, oh man, this is even lower risk than we think. We both kind of think that's one of those things that I think it was going to be a lot harder to just sit there and go, all right, you were here for 5 years, you're gone. Like now, but at the same time though, they got it in writing.
Yeah, they did. So long term, that's encouraging because it puts you in prime position for the next round. And I know we're all sick of waiting for the next round. Memphis just tried to create a new round on its own right here. The next round is probably 2030. That's a long way off, but in the grand scheme of things...
Let's even say it's probably 2028 in anticipation of 2030, or maybe 2029. Because I'm always unclear. I think it's for the TV deals will be for the 2031 football season. Is that right?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
So maybe it's 2029 in anticipation of...
You start getting your ducks in a row.
Yeah, everyone usually gets it like... I feel like it's like 2 years before.
Yeah, so now it's like, what do you do in the short term? Do you go back to the drawing board with the Pac-12? Do you try to split off, do a hybrid Pac-12 Big East thing, and then figure something out for your non-revs? And my sticking point with that is... if you leave the American and you pay what is, I believe, a $25 million exit fee,
it obviously depends on what year you leave, but the number everyone operates with is 25. Like, hey, we're going to have to pay $25 million.
Right. So if you go to another conference now, be it the Big East or the Pac-12 or some combination of both, you have to do that with terms that don't require you to pay another massive exit fee if the ACC or the Big 12 were to come calling in 4 to 5 years. So that, I mean, I think the key right now is to stay nimble, stay flexible. Obviously the athletic department is nimble and flexible enough to deal with a one-time $25 million conference exit fee. But if you pay that to go to the PAC or the Big East or some combination, and then you get locked into exit fees there, then you're no longer nimble. You're no longer mobile. You've expended a lot of the capital available to you already to leave the American, and then you're kind of locked in with wherever you go in the immediate future when there could still be a better long-term play out there. And so let's say that means, all right, I guess we're staying in the American. That's a bummer, obviously, but if you have close to $20.5 million in rev share, you might have more than the rest of the conference combined, in the years to come. I mean,
sure.
Tulane's going to be scraping to get half that together. I mean, and then after that, I mean, we're looking at South Florida. How much are they scraping together? Maybe 4 or 5 to go across their entire
I mean,
department?
I don't know, because, like, that's the other thing. Where is South Florida with their stadium? Because, like, you know, we can get into the whole Liberty Bowl aspect of this, but it's like, you know, most of the funding for the stadium renovation came from state money and from the Fred Smith gift. Yes, they've raised some on their own, but a good chunk of it is coming from that. Whereas South Florida, they're still trying to build this brand new stadium in an era where, hey man, it seems like every dollar you can spend on your roster, you need to do that.
Yeah, and Memphis is going to be spending big on its roster. It's got the stadium renovation underway.
And so I wanted to go back to that point because I asked Munns about this because there were two details that caught my eye in Dellinger's story. One was the amount of money, the corporate money, and then the detail that not this season, but next season, Memphis anticipates spending the 20.5. So fully opting into rev share. And I asked Munns, I was like, hey, is that if they're in the Big 12? Because what we've seen is when teams move up in the leagues, that has gotten people to donate more money. And so there's been that side of it. And Munns said, based on the conversations he had, he thinks it's this year they're probably closer to like 12 to 13, but he does believe they are on track next year to actually still have that 20.5 in the American. And to your point, I mean,
you're lapping the field, and it puts massive pressure on your coaches and on your programs to perform, because it's already kind of there. You're already spending more than everybody else in the American. Next year, you might be spending significantly more, nearly as much as probably the bottom seven or eight, at least, put together. And you got to perform. You got to win.
Oh, God,
big.
Bottom seven or eight? Well, that's the other thing. We know there's two schools that don't spend a dime.
Well, there's a minimum now. Obviously, Army and Navy.
Right.
Army and Navy, they
so
can't.
So there's two schools that are not allowed to spend a dime. But, like, I don't know. What do you think Charlotte's football NIL is?
Yeah, right. It's insignificant at best. So, massive pressure to perform. Now, I'm not saying they have to get the playoff bid from the group of five, but you got to maintain that 10-11 win trajectory the program has been on the last two seasons.
I think it's fair to say this. Either this year or next year, man, make the freaking championship game.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable aspiration. Very reasonable.
Like,
with
if
the
you're
money
that much
have.
Better of a job, like, I'm not saying, like, I understand when you get these big bloated, leagues, the schedule can sometimes work against you. And like last year, it worked out for Army that their schedule, they got a really nice soft handshake. They got that, Cobb, they got like that 320-yard par four to start. You know what I mean?
They
like,
did.
If you're in the fairway, you got a scoring iron. Like, you should be on the green putting for birdie. Like, they got that to start. And now that worked against Memphis. Memphis also stupidly did the thing where they asked for the lesser home schedule so that they could open up the stadium, and that's thrown everything off. But at the same time, it's like, hey, man, we've gotten to November the last couple of years, and you're already out of the race.
And then for basketball, I think it's make the NCAA tournament this year. I think that would be a good outcome. Next year's Memphis basketball roster has got to be great. It's got to be great. They've got to make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament to just sort of put on for the rest of the
nation. You're saying two seasons, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying this year. I don't know how practical that is this year, but I'm saying...
Because I've wondered this, because you and I have discussed it a little bit. I want to know, is this year's college basketball rosters, is it the norm or is it an outlier in terms of the cost? Because I'll make this argument. This year's college basketball offseason felt to me like the football offseason of 2 years ago. And now maybe also the football offseason feels like it's stabilized a little bit because everyone's just now decided we're keeping the guys we want to keep. And so those, you don't start to hear the numbers as much because it starts to get into less of a pure bidding war, or at least a public bidding war. You just start, like, teams are just committed to keeping their guys. And so maybe that's what's at least made it feel more stable and more quiet. But, like, if indeed this is just the norm, man, that is a heck of a hill to climb to field, you know, a top 20 team.
It is. If you're at the full 20.5, though, now, look, I am not. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm not the guy who's out here saying, well, let's go all in on basketball and football can figure it out. If you wanted to go that route, you shouldn't have messed around and let your football program get good. You should have gone all in on that route when John Calipari
was
your basketball
coach. I'm almost at the point where, Cobb, I'm so apprehensive about the Grizzlies' lease that, I mean, I said this in real time. This is not revisionist history. I never bought into the idea that fixing up the Liberty Bowl was going to be the difference between you being in the a power league and not. I just don't think that's the decision tree. It helps, but I don't think that is the, like, in the end, that is not the factor that they're largely looking at.
largely it's television executives looking at, do you add value to the property that we have the rights to? That's what it largely has been. I'm now at the point where I'm so, like, we could have written it to where all the money just went to the arena, and I think this, I think the arena thing would be moving on a whole lot more. It's like, we've spent the money now. It's like, you better not give up on football. Like, we spent the money, so let's do something with it.
No, absolutely. You could still field far and away the best football roster in the American with 9 or 10 million allocated to a football roster.
I think that's probably right. Yeah,
far and away, the most competitive roster in the league with that amount of money. And if you're close to 20.5, let's say you're at 18 next year, hypothetically, that's an $8 million or $7 million basketball roster. I guess you got to have a little bit to pay this kid who came back from the MLB draft to play baseball, right? But yeah. Like, you know, you 7.5 next year in basketball, that would be tremendous. Because here's a national.
Yeah, you might be a middle of the SEC team.
Well, we'll see. Because what's I think tremendously impactful for Memphis, maybe more so than anyone else in the country right now, is what the College Sports Commission is going to do as it pertains to regulating the third-party NIL deals. The early returns were that they were going to be mega strict, which suggested that...
That's why, honestly, I thought that was the biggest story of the week.
And yeah, and that's huge. Like, if they're going to be mega strict, that's beneficial for
Memphis. The biggest story of the week was they... Literally, it took one threat of a lawsuit to now all of a sudden... Collectives are back, yes.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. However, it does not necessarily mean that they're just going to green light every deal that a collective comes up with. They haven't relaxed, at least publicly, they haven't relaxed the, quote, valid business purpose.
Yeah, but I give credit to whoever the attorney was that thought of it. Did you hear the justification? So for those that don't know, the biggest complaint is that how do you make pay for play seem legitimate? Well, the biggest part was these speaking events or autograph signings or whatnot that are for the promotion of the collective. And they're paying the guys to appear. Now, to Cobb's point, is that a legitimate business event? No, but their argument was it's no different than promoting a concert meet and greet. So in the end, if I'm charging whatever, you know, $1,500 to come meet the band backstage, whatever the fee is, if I'm charging everybody $1,500, all right, I'm probably not making money on the event, but the idea is I'm bringing in extra revenue because people want to pay to be around the big names. And so I've got to pay that. Again, if you were having to run it like a legitimate business, I don't think you'd be doing this, but that was their argument and it kind of worked.
Yeah. But my question now, the question everybody has now is, will Ohio State, for example, will their collective be authorized to spend $5 million for an autograph session with Julian Sayin? Or will the CSC say, hold on, you can have an autograph session with this guy, but you can't pay him $5 million for it. You can pay him $5,000. And if it's that, then I think it levels the playing field. Interesting text now.
So we just got this. George has alerted us to a story from the North Carolina On Three site. I believe that's Inside Carolina.
Yeah, I took a look into the actual article for a second just to make sure that this wasn't complete nothing.
Well, I mean, it links, at least, I'll say this, the story at least linked to a story on the On3 page.
Yeah.
So I'll concede this. Speaking of everybody just waiting until about 2029, this from Alex Byington.
And then he's got it from the Sports Business Journal.
Correct.
Which appears to have a fairly thorough report on this.
Is college sports ready for another round of realignment? Well, if a message board post from Inside Carolina is accurate, North Carolina could be exploring a move away from the ACC, according to a report from the Sports Business Journal. The University of North Carolina is reportedly among several schools, quote, interested in seeking a departure from the ACC whenever the next round of collegiate realignment happens, and, quote, even could be considered at the front of the pack alongside Clemson, per the Sports Business Journal.
So hold on. Let's get this straight. So this is an On3 report aggregating a Sports Business Journal article that found a message board post on 24/7.
I would say this is a On3 report that was inspired by an On3 message board link to a Sports Business Journal story.
So take
Did everybody follow that?
Yeah. This deserves a big grain of salt, but one that I like popped up and was like, this is the real On3 account. This links to a real article or two. That's interesting.
I'm sure North Carolina is interested in leaving and going to the SEC.
So here's the problem with this. I understand, you and I understand how the writing has to work. This is also one of those things where, yes, the report, if you can get the source and whatnot, if you can get it in writing, that does make the story. Did anyone really think North Carolina wasn't exploring this?
Right. Now what's lacking from this report about the North Carolina...
How's the pursuit going on the other end?
Exactly. What does the SEC say about it? The SEC is probably like, all right, Carolina, nice to see you guys here. Glad you're interested in us. Did you see what Memphis just offered to the Big 12? Yeah, can you do that? Because if you can, maybe we're interested. But I think what Memphis has done is raise the stakes and raise the bar for every program in America in college sports that's looking to upgrade in conference.
Well, this is what I find fascinating. So the SEC has yet to add a team without giving them a full share. Every addition dating back to Arkansas and South Carolina, Missouri and A&M, Texas, and then Oklahoma, they've come in with a full share. The Big Ten, however, has done partial shares. I believe Nebraska came in at a full share. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Nebraska got a full share. USC and UCLA got full shares. Maryland, Rutgers,
Oregon,
Washington were partial shares. And I believe also when Penn State was added, it was a full share. So everyone that has always entered the SEC has entered as a full member. That has not been the case in the Big Ten, but I throw that detail out there not to somehow prop up the SEC. I throw that detail out there because what I actually consider the news of the report is it's not North Carolina seeking either Big Ten or SEC invite. It specifically mentioned the SEC, which would be, to me, the biggest part of this, because I do think North Carolina is one of those schools that both conferences would covet.
Yeah, they would be interesting. How interesting, though? You're talking about a premier college basketball brand and then a big, giant, fat question mark around the football program right now.
What are you talking about? They sold out tickets, baby! Chapel Bill! Yeah.
Chapel Bill, we'll see. That's kind of where I'm at.
I can't remember if I told you. I can't remember if I said this to you or to Tim. Whoever the actual professional PR agent that came in and publicist that had to clean up the Jordan Hudson, like all of that devastation, that person low-key deserves like an industry award. You have not heard a peep since the last, like, really since... What, the last Pablo finds out?
Yeah, it's been all about the ball the last month or so with North Carolina. Yeah, that's a great point. But now they have to deliver. Like, they're getting to a point now where, I mean, they open with TCU. I mean, it's like go time right out of the gate. So,
I was thinking about this, though. Are they the most interesting non-title contender?
Oh, without a doubt. It's the Deion Sanders effect, to a lesser extent, because it's Bill Belichick. He doesn't have the personality of Coach Prime. But, yeah, they are, without a doubt. And they're going to be the team that otherwise would be operating in obscurity that does abnormally large TV ratings relative to where they've been historically and, honestly, how good they're probably going to be, because I've dug into that roster, and it's okay, but it's not that's not a college football playoff team.
No, it's not a college football playoff team, but it's the ACC. You don't have to be that good to be competitive. Like, I don't, they're, to me, they're just so fascinating because you look at their schedule and you think there's easily a path to 9-3. There's also, you look at that schedule, if this thing is a disaster, there's a path to like missing a bowl game.
Yeah, in which case, your bona fides for getting into the SEC, I feel like are, I feel like it's a tough sell. Although, hey, look, maybe in this era, maybe in this era, Jeffrey, presidents, ADs, coaches are looking around and saying, actually, you know what? We could use a school that we can beat.
I'm glad you went there because that is the one thing. Like, when the SEC added Texas and Oklahoma, and while Oklahoma stumbled out of the gate, there's a chance that they're right back in the mix this year. And then last year, Texas had as good of a chance of winning a national title as anyone not named Ohio State. I mean, I think it's – I know the final score of the Notre Dame game was closer. I thought down to down, the Texas-Ohio State game was more competitive. Ohio State was better, but it was more competitive. So that was the team that was the closest. But now you're not adding any L's.
North Carolina could be the team. I mean, they could be on that tier of where historically programs like South Carolina, Mississippi State have operated. And that's sub 500. So
to me, though,
it could be
the actual,
in that way.
My thing is, this is not surprising. I think the SEC would take Carolina tomorrow. Now, I think Carolina would probably want to wait so that they don't have to pay the full buyout thing. You know what I mean? I would think that they'd want to let the thing play out. What is more fascinating to me, though, is how did this leak? Because there's a couple of questions. Did this leak because Carolina, like, in the end, like, let's take it with what we were talking about with the Memphis story. Where I applaud Memphis is beyond the putting together of the marketing plan. Like, they tried to jump the line. Like, they were, you know what, instead of sitting on our hands and doing exactly what we're told, like, let's take a swing. Is Carolina doing this because they think some other teams might be trying to say, screw it, like let's take our swings, and that Carolina's going to be like, well, let's get in front of this?
That's a good angle. That's a good angle, Jeffrey. I mean, because is the SEC really going to look to expand by 5 or 6? You know, I doubt it. And if it's only 1 or 2, then you're also going to look at Florida State, Miami, Clemson. You're North Carolina. You don't know where you stand in that pecking order. You kind of jump to the front of the line here by leaking something. I mean, I could see that. And then look, to tie it back in locally a little bit, this is another avenue, right? Like, I still understand, obviously, even if North Carolina and Clemson and Miami were to depart the ACC, you're going to still have stuffy old Duke, Wake Forest, Cal, and Stanford with their haughty-taughty academic whatever, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, like, the collective college sports universe and really the academicians out there have to realize athletic conferences have nothing to do with
academics.
And in that case, Memphis then becomes attracted to the ACC. To me, that's all along, that has been the most likely outcome for me, is that the ACC gets some of its top dogs poached off and that Memphis ends up in a conference with the bottom 9 or 10 leftover schools from the ACC. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad outcome.
No, I'm with you entirely. Listen, I've asked, I don't know, but there's clearly a powerful person or persons that have an infatuation and have their eye on the Big 12. You know how we know? Because Cobb, as long as we've been old enough to remember, like, that's where they've desired to go. I'm not saying that is, like, being aspirational is not a good thing, but to me it's like, that never made sense. Like, why do you keep doing this? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk with Eric Hasson. He joins the program next. We'll talk more about the Carolina stuff during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That music means we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine. Eric, we'll get into maybe a little bit of Grizzlies, but I wanted to propose this because I'm very thankful for your NFL team, the Green Bay Packers, because they report their financials like a publicly traded company. And
well, as a shareholder, I appreciate that.
Correct. I couldn't decide if this was a dumb thought by me. We found out that in terms of total profit, the Packers made, I believe it was $83 million in change.
Yeah.
Am I insane for thinking that number sounded a little low? Like, I know that is an insanely high number, and I also know football's very expensive, and the way the Packers take care of their team, like, they're spend, but, like, I was almost just thinking, I was like, I just kind of feel like, in my mind, I just think these NFL teams just make like $200 million every year.
I think it depends. I mean, obviously the Cowboys, because they own their stadium and they rent it out and have massive events there, probably turn more profit. I'm not sure how the merchandise split works, but obviously the number one selling merch team is Dallas for around the world. And I get that, and that's cool. But, yeah, I don't know. $83 million is nothing to sneeze at, you know? So maybe we could find a kicker and a number one wide receiver with some of that money. That would be nice. Really nice.
Well, did you not see yesterday, though? The Packers are focused on the not sexy plays. That was Matt LaFleur. So I guess y'all are just running the ball between the guards. Is that what we're working on day one?
Going back to the old days of Vince Lombardi, I wonder if Whitey's going to come back where he says, they're killing me, Whitey. Nobody knows who Whitey is, by the way, still to this day. No one's sure. No one's sure who Whitey is. I'm sure somebody figured it out, but no. It's interesting to see that. And, you know, obviously $100 million in a year is no small chunk. $83 million is no small chunk of change. But, yeah, to publicly report that, I don't know what ticket prices are. I know, obviously, it's impossible to get on that season ticket list. I do know when I took the tour, there was a year the Grizzlies played the Bucks at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay's stadium, which is literally across the street. And I was doing this time slot on this station, wrapped up about 5 minutes early, didn't take a break in the bottom of the hour, and sprint over and took the VIP tour. And there was a 5-year deal you could do where you sat in a suite, but it wasn't like your own suite. It was like a suite level. Yeah, like a party suite. Like it had a bar, you had a locker.
Yeah.
It was actually relatively affordable, but you could only do it for 5 years. And you couldn't come back and do it again. Like it had to just turn over. So they give people options, but you know, it's a special place, man. It's fun. It was neat to be there and walk around and walk on the field and see where they do the leap and all of that, and they do those tours. So I don't know if that's just straight football revenue or, you know, that's the question to me is like, are the guided tours part of that or other events there part of that? And I mean, it is, if you've never been there, it is wild. Like it is right in the middle of a neighborhood. Like think if where the old Target and Kmart were or Walmart were in Cordova, right there by Trinity and Germantown Parkway. Think if you just dropped a stadium right there. and there's houses around it. And in fact, the one time I've been to a game, I was fortunate to join the Tui family when they went up to see Michael play with the Ravens. And it was on a Monday night. And you got to realize that the town's not very big. So there's not a lot of cabs. And this was before Ubers. So we were like, we got to get a cab back to the airport because we were flying back that night. And it was freezing out. And these people were having a bonfire in their driveway. And I said, come on, I got this. And I just walked over and I said, hey, we're waiting for a cab. Do you guys mind if we, you know, kind of warm up by your fire? We got a couple ladies here that are a little chilly. And I said, full disclosure, they have Ravens stuff on. Their son plays for the Ravens. And, you know, we talked about it. And one of the girls in the group goes, oh, you need a cab? My brother owns the cab company. Hang on, I'll be here in 15 minutes.
There you go. So that's family service.
Yeah. And the guy was like, hey, the fridge is in the back. Go help yourself. Load up. Do whatever you need for your flight. We got some stuff cooking on the grill if you guys want to wait. And Sean's looking at me like, is this really happening? And I said, I don't know. I just saw a fire, and I just walked over and made friends. And so it was cool. It was really a special experience, and I'm looking forward one day to taking my son up there for sure.
All right, Grizzlies-wise, how do we feel about the Lakers just, like, kind of taking Grizzlies' cast-offs?
You know, it is what it is. I mean, there's so much movement this year right now. When you have the type of money committed to two guys that they have, you're going to have to find guys that have been in the league that that are going to come at an affordable price that maybe, you know, the ability to play alongside a LeBron James or a Luka Doncic makes a lot of guys attractive. And, you know, for these players, to say that they were a teammate of LeBron or Lucas is huge. So seeing them take guys that were on the Grizzlies roster, I mean, shoot, who were the other teams that have done it in years past? I mean, for like 5 years, the Warriors took every pick the Grizzlies were interested in, and from Mike Dunleavy Jr. and on down, and kept grabbing guys that the Grizzlies were interested in. In the early days here. So it kind of always seems to stem that way.
I feel like the Kings used to take our cast-offs too, and then,
yeah,
like
a couple times.
Were there a couple? I feel like there were some Pelicans. Yeah, Kyle Anderson. There were definitely some San Antonio
ties. Yeah, the one that I'm trying to remember, the one that we were like, man, there's a lot. Like Sacramento, there was a ton of ties last year. Like, it was wild on our team. We had, you know, Jason March, one of our lead assistants, was an assistant there under Dave Yeager. Our trainer, Katie, is from there. Our nutritionist, Megan, both of them went to Davis like yours truly. So we had all these people in Sacramento, and I was like, well, I missed the days when we had like 15 guys. Nobody had any ties here. And there was just a stack of unused tickets that they, you know, they give the teams for the game. So I could call my friends and go, hey, who wants to come tonight? And now I got friends calling me like, hey, can we get to the game? And I'm like, nope. Sorry, like I had a hard time finding two, let alone the 22 I used to be able to get. So it's there's a lot of ties there right now, and so it's wild. Like, you see that, and for some reason, when teams see other teams play, you know, their style, and maybe think that guy would fit our style because we're similar.
Yeah,
you'll see a lot of that. And so a lot of the times when coaches have ties to one another, you're going to see that, like Mike Budenholzer and Taylor Jenkins. They're going to have guys that play similar roles, and they're going to see guys in those roles, and they're going to say, hey, that guy could do that for us. So that makes a lot of sense to me when you see guys that have coached together or been in a system together or are friends and know, you know, what they're accomplishing. I think that's really where the ties tend to come in, and you'll see them for a handful of years while those guys coach, and then they go away, you know. So it's one of those deals where, you know, you're going to see people and like, why do they keep taking guys that used to be Grizzlies? It's probably because they, you know, the guys on that the guys in that organization feel like, hey, this team can do the same. And then look, JJ Redick and is kind of plays a similar style. And so you're going to see a lot of guys that, you know, are going to go and be able to chuck it up from outside and play fast paced basketball.
Eric, do your best to get me fired up for PJ Hall, most recent roster addition. Going to be filling a two-way spot. Best I can tell, his career high in minutes is 8 logged last year when he was with the Denver Nuggets.
Harrington dubbed him. He's not 3-and-D. He's 3-and-rebound. That was how Harrington dubbed him.
Yeah, Clemson kid, right?
Yeah,
if I remember him correctly, and solid, just, you know, kind of that.
He was on Denver's probably, Denver. He was on a Denver two way.
Yeah, and I've seen him before, and I saw him. We saw him in college. I mean, yeah. He played against the Tigers, if I'm not mistaken.
So, and he played here. So. He played here
in the NCAA tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, sure did. And so you see this, you see guys like this, and you know where they list him at 6'9", 6'8", 6'9", and you think, boy, if he was 7 feet like Isaiah Hartenstein, then you're going to have a lot more people breathing down your door, and the two-way deals aren't there. I applaud the guys that go for two ways. And look, when you can find a guy and you give him a shot and you think that, hey, let's see what this guy can do, that's the beauty of the two-way. You're going to be able to try out a lot of guys. You're going to see, as we do every year, the Grizzlies are going to sign a guy, you know, for one preseason game, and then they have their Exhibit A rights or whatever it's called, and they can keep them with the hustle. I mean, like, it's a revolving door, and it's cool to see those guys get the opportunity when we're calling the games. Like, all right, is this guy really going to play? You got to go bone up on the information just in case he gets in the preseason game and you have some stuff to talk about. But it's like every game, and like, all right. And then they'll announce it at like 2 o'clock and you're like, man, I put the computer away an hour ago. Why are we, what are we doing? But that's how you build up, you know, your pipeline. And so, when I saw him in college, I thought he was a really good player. But these are the things that, as you guys know, that line of demarcation of whether or not you're going to be a multiple year minute getter in the NBA, as opposed to a guy bouncing two way to two way, trying to find an opportunity where, let's be honest, about 85 to 90% of the time, they don't, they end up going overseas, make a really nice living for 5 to 10 years. And they come back and they either get into basketball coaching or they get into the private sector. And, you know, look, I'm a big believer with any of these guys. If you can get paid to play, go get paid to play. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you can chase your dream, chase it, because the real world ain't going anywhere. And, you know, you're going to be in your 20s one time and you're going to have one ride and one shot at this. Jeffrey, I'm sure you knew guys that were like, oh, I could have gone and signed an independent minor league baseball deal, but the money was garbage or whatever. And I was just ready to get on with my life. Cool. If you know that, great. But if you
guys that got the hey, we'll let you sign for a bucket of balls for, you know, now you're going to play like below rookie ball, like, but not even independent ball. Like they could have signed like that, and they're just like, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, and I get that too. I mean, I totally understand that, because it is a grind. And you know, there's wild stories with that. I grew up with a kid who played at the University of California and went to the St. Paul Saints. And I mean, dude hit like, literally, if you look him up, hit like 439 with like an average of an RBI per game. And he couldn't get a single A sniff. And I'm like, how do you put up those numbers in any level of professional baseball and not have somebody go, hey, we'll give you a look. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got hurt. We lost contact, you know, after we were 13 years old, but, you know, kind of keeping track of us, like, wow, Andy's got a chance, and it didn't happen. And so I just think when someone says, hey, we'll pay you to play, that you can find it. But it's also hard to tell people, hey, yeah, you can live on $600 a month, because in today's world, you can't. You can't live on $600 a month and expect to have any sort of a life, any sort of a dating life, let alone, you know, being able to go out with the boys and you know, hang out a little bit. So you've either got to work really hard in the off season while you're working out. And, but look, who am I? I believe if you feel like you want to chase it, chase it. Cause you don't want to live with that regret. So for a guy
to your point, think about our boy Brent Rooker for your beloved A's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brent got DFA'd, I think, by the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
I think the A's just kind of picked him up for spring training.
Yep,
and he makes the team, and now I mean, what a 2025 that man's having, you know?
Yeah.
Potential $90 million contract that he signs, home run derby, run in the All Star game. Like, you never know, like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can just be like, did you get the right like, to your point about style of play? Like, you never know, like, when a guy clicks with a certain system.
It's exactly, and you know, you look at a guy like PJ Hall, find a place to play. You look at a guy like TJ McConnell. He was a cast-off, and he got in with Philadelphia, which everybody's like, oh, man, that's rough. They're going to stink. Yeah, but I'm going to get on the court, and I'm going to prove I can play. You get signed by an A's team that is going through a rebuild if you're Brent Rooker. I got a chance to play. I got a chance to be in the lineup and work and do damage. And, it was really cool during the home run derby. We were up at our good friends up at Skybox, where John Martin's a legend now. And, you know, long ago, they once sponsored the show you guys are hosting, and great people up there. and Brent Rooker's family was up there watching the Derby. And so it was like kind of cool. And when he came up with a picture of him on the Germantown Giants, really cool. And everybody was, you know, the whole bar was pulling for him. And so those are great stories. And there's guys that, you know, make it up. What was it? Was it Chris Taylor with the Dodgers who made it up when he was like 32 after years in the minors? There's been guys in the NBA that.
Did you see our boy Rich Hill started again this week?
Yeah, exactly, right?
It's insane.
You just keep going and play and enjoy it. I'm all for it. So when you sign a guy like a PJ Hall and you give him a two-way deal, go in and show what you're capable of. And if it doesn't work here, you just don't let go of the rope. So a little bit undersized for the big, but if he can rebound, I mean, there's been plenty of guys that rebounded in this league successfully at that height. He's just got to find a way to make that work.
A little bit of that Xavier Tillman type of build, like not long enough to be a great rim protector, but hustles, got a little finesse to his game offensively, pretty physical, pretty well built. So I can see that. Real quick, Brent Rooker got jobbed in that home run derby, losing out by like half of a foot
because they wanted Cal Raleigh.
They just wanted Cal Raleigh.
My take, though, is that's the best.
They ran out of balls.
That's the best way to lose. Well, so Brent was asked about it afterwards. He took two pitches in what you're supposed to get 30. Do you get 30? Like, there was like 38 tosses or 40
balls.
Correct. And they shorted him one.
His pitcher wanted to warm up a couple. And did you see when guys after him warmed up, they brought a bag of balls that they used to warm up? The guy was reaching for a ball. He would have had one left. And who knows what happens. But he did. I'm like, I can't believe somebody in the offices didn't go, hey, we owe him one more pitch. We owe him one more.
I still think it's the best way to lose. Get screwed.
I don't know. It was tough. But, you know, Cal, you know, the distance, how do you really know? But, again, like the warm-up, that was – we were all in the bar yelling, yo, what, he had two more pitches and the guy's reaching for balls and it's empty. I mean, like they didn't factor in that they told the guys, hey, take a couple warm-ups and when you're ready, go. Well, Brent's guy grabbed them out of the bucket that, you know, you're supposed to be pitching out of. And I guess they just make sure, like, hey, we put 40 in there for a reason, but they should have thought of, hey, if they take warm-ups, we better have a warm-up bag out there, and they did after that. But I thought he did nothing to make people wonder if he should have been there, and then he gets a home run in the All-Star game. I mean, look, if the American League somehow came back and won that game, he's the All-Star game MVP. But he has something now, to me, that his grandkids, my grandfather hit a home run in the All-Star game, participated in the home run derby. And this is a guy, like you said, was released basically by the Kansas City Royals when the Royals weren't very good.
Yeah.
And he got picked up and made the most of it. He's a great dude, too. He's become buddies with Luke Kennard. He became buddies with Chris Vernon. He's got Chris has ties to ECS. I think his son is over there. And, I got to meet him at a game and just a super nice guy. And, look, you're happy for me. You just tell he's just living the dream and playing baseball, and he's got generational wealth now because of it, because he just kept working.
No, the other thing I was thinking, I'm trying to think, the other problem that he had is the going first or second sucks.
Yeah.
You have no idea what the pace is. Like,
right.
If you looked at it, there was like five straight hitters that, because Brent, I think, hit like one or two more than the guy in front of him, but nobody like knows what the pace is. Everybody just kept trying to be like, all right, well, I just got to get a couple more than the guy in front of me, and everybody started doing that. But, you know, he did also get the advantage of Cal hitting right-handed. When Cal flipped to the left side, that was all she wrote.
Well, and, you know, what's interesting, too, is Jazz Chisholm decided that it was
he decided not
hit home runs.
Correct. He decided, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know why I signed up for this.
Look, he's having a heck of a year. The memes that have come out from that, by the way, are just hysterical. Like, things from the bench warmers where David Spade is, like, karate chopping at the ball in the scene. It's like
– underrated movie, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. The Gus Bus is out of gas. And every baseball field I've been to with my son playing on the travel circuit, and you have a big kid and someone goes, what does he have? Does he have a piece of paper with a crayon that says I am 12? And it comes from that. So it's reference. Hey, by the way, did I get duped or did Hulk Hogan really pass away today?
No, he really passed away. Cardiac arrest, 71.
It is hard to imagine that we now no longer have either one of the mega powers around. And the
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.